The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The Hornet's Nest. We're here. We're not queer. We're damn proud of it. I'm Nick Gardner.
I'm Doug Janke. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing the best I can with a little bit I've got left to work with. We got stuff going on. But I'll tell you what I found this week. I found ribs as good as Fat Daddy's.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yaks on the 5 up at Dunsmuir.
They're doing
ribs now.
Yeah.
And I stopped in there, Thursday for a hamburger, and I saw ribs. I said, you guys are doing ribs? Yeah, let me give you a sample. And they're as good as Fat Daddy's in a different way. They've got a much sweeter sauce. They're meaty. They're tender, just like Fat Daddy's barbecue over on Hartnell. So we've got two really good rib joints. I was always going to ask you, you told me one time that Dry Creek Station had good ribs.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I was there last night. My wife and I had to pick up our stuff after the evacuation. So we went and picked it up at our friend's place, and then we were right there down the street. We said, let's go to Dry Creek, and had the beef ribs, and love them. Loved them. And it's really hard. Not many places don't even have beef ribs, so it's really good. And they fall off the bone. It's basically the prime rib, i.e. the rib. And so the meat is just phenomenal. And my wife, when she used to watch me, she's like, ugh. Now she wants me to always give her a piece of them because the meat's so darn good.
Well, a lot of people think that the meat's sweeter the closer it is to the bone.
Well, I can tell you that. It's really good. So there you go. You've got three rib joints here within about 20 miles, so that's pretty darn good. And then I actually like Smokin' Joe's down on Airport as well. So we're pretty blessed here with some really good barbecue joints now. It's coming online.
And Mexican food.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of Mexican food restaurants in Redding.
No. No, we're doing pretty well. We've got plenty of restaurants. I think there was actually one point in, I want to say somewhere in the 2010s, it came out that we had one of the highest concentrations of restaurants in the entire United States. It was like one table per like 300 residents or something. It was some crazy thing.
I remember that.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of restaurants there. Good morning, Nick. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Things are good with me. I went camping. What night was it? I think it was Wednesday night. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I've got an air mattress.
Oh.
And it would let out the air. I've got to have a soft bed or my back just kills me. And it would take this air mattress about an hour to go down to where my back and my hips hurt to where I'd finally get up. But, you know, I was right close to my pickup. I went to a different spot, and I got an electric pump. So about every hour and a half, I'd pump it back up. And it didn't bother anybody because there's nobody within 20 miles of me, but it was just a pain. And the rest of the day, I sat there, I chilled, I read, I took a little walk in the forest by myself. It was just absolutely wonderful after that. And you, how was your week?
Well, we got evacuated Friday previous, so we were actually staying at a friend's house for 7 days, and we had to go out to the sanctuary and feed every day at 4 o'clock, 270 wild beasts. Went to work and did real estate, or actually I should say I looked at the phone and checked to see if it was working. It is, but I'm not. And then went on Carl's show Thursday and beat up Carl Bott, so it was a good week.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you're setting up a butcher shop up there at your place? When the poop hits the fan, you're going to be selling horse meat?
No, let me kill that one now, because people always ask if they come up and hunt on deer or turkey, because we've got both of those by gobs. And my wife always gives me that stern look and says, we are a sanctuary. Animals who get onto the property are safe. So, no, we won't be doing that. So there you go, Nick. I'm just telling you, don't squeeze onto the property, or I'll have to shoot you myself.
Sometimes I think you'd like to shoot me when we walk out the door here. You know, I got home from camping, and I went out to catch up on my watering, and I hear my pump out in the middle of the field.
You've got a lot of pumps, for the record. That's about the fourth pump reference already this morning. I'm just putting it out there for the people. I find that odd at 5 minutes into the show.
So I got out there, and my pump's running, but there's no water on. And I'm going, boy, this isn't good. You know,
that's bad.
It's a 220 pump. It runs up the electricity bill pretty quick.
Yep.
So what am I going to do? Well, Chance Martin, who played hockey with my son since they were about 10 years old, he has started his own pump repair operation, owner-operator, and I gave Chance a call. He apprenticeshipped with J&J Pumps,
yep.
And he's out on his own now, and I told him what was going on, and he told me what the problem probably was, how I could fix it myself. I went on out there, and I couldn't fix it myself, so he come on over very timely. And walked out there, and here's your problem right here, just simple as that. Replace the part, and it costs less than $100.
Wow, honestly.
You can't get a pump person to show up for that. And clean cut, conscientious, real nice equipment.
Oh, good.
And he doesn't drill, but he has a guy that he works with that does drill. So if you have any pump problems, get a hold of me. I'll give you his phone number. I'll give you his phone number right now, 530-722-8788. And he's got a website, ENCPumpService.com. ENCPumpService.com. Highly recommend, Chance.
That's awesome. Hey, Nick, you know, we tell our people all the time that we don't actually pre anything. We show up, and whatever we're going to talk about, we talk about when we get here. Did you know that BlackRock shorted President Trump's company right before the assassination?
Oh, yeah. Like
$360 million to short his company, that it would lose value upon some event. And then, well, unfortunately, Mr. Trump, for them, didn't actually pass away. And the liberal media immediately jumped on and said it was complete bogus and nothing like that. And then they came out and issued a text. This is a read-in from a thing, because the liberal media, folks, liberals, just you can't trust a word they say. Not one of them, not one time, net ever. So BlackRock did a $360 million short of a Trump stock. I think it was Truth Social or whatever the heck it is. Anyways, then when it didn't play out their way, then they said, oh, that's just right-wing hysteria. That's a conspiracy theory. And then finally, here it is. If you just wait long enough, the truth comes out. A Texas-based wealth management firm has apologized for a clerical error that gave the appearance of a massive short position on shares of Donald Trump's social media company. See, that's the great thing about liberals, Nick. They purposely and openly try to screw you and the system, and then when they get caught, it's just a big apology. So not only was the story real that they did short, or now it's a clerical error, that's one of the things going on this last week, that you shake your head and go, wow. There's some interconnectivity there between big money and maybe, you know, who's going to be the next president.
Well, you know, I read that story also, and before they claimed it was a clerical error, and I just heard that for the first time, it said that BlackRock somehow got a hold of the financial institution and got them to forgive that shorting the Truth Social.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, the American society is turned into excuse makers.
Yes.
That's all we are anymore. I come up with these ideas, and I'll say, well, why don't we do this? And anybody I talk to, from the street sweeper on up to a city council member, their job is to tell you why it won't work. And 9 times out of 10, I just put my head down and do it, and it works. No, it's right.
I know.
Everybody, they're always making an excuse why your idea won't work, why this won't work.
Yeah.
Instead of rolling up their sleeves, what made this country.
Which made the country.
Yes, and we're going to do this. I wonder how many excuses they could have come up with when John Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon.
Can't do that, Nick.
Oh,
we can't do that.
No.
That's too big of a ask.
Kevin Costner hasn't been born yet.
Yeah. or Tom Hanks or any of those people.
That's right.
So, no, you know, it's funny, Nick, is normally our show has a lot of local flavor at first, and this one is we've got a special guest coming in here in a bit, and he said he would show up a little earlier, which is good. But I just like to throw some stuff that's actually happening that our folks who are living their life, making their money, and taking care of their families may not have seen.
Who's making money?
Well, liberal people and politicians are, and apparently BlackRock.
Well, the people making money are all government workers. The rest of us are starving to death, paying our taxes so they can make money, although they don't produce anything.
No,
but
they
turmoil,
don't.
They're good at producing turmoil.
And they're good at telling you what you can and you can't do. I was talking to somebody about the fact this fire has gone up, speaking of bureaucrats, has gone up into, I think it's the Ishii Wilderness area. And that's one of those great federal bureaucratic areas where you're not allowed to take in any mechanized anything, no chainsaws, no bikes, no nothing. And so the fire is going up in there apparently. And so if it gets into it and starts to spread, they can't do anything inside of it because it's a federally off limits area. That's a bureaucratic rule that's just, I think, amazing.
Years ago, I read that they couldn't fly over it and drop borate or the helicopters with water.
Well, apparently, this person who told me this said, and this person is very well well-versed, said, it's about to go into Ishii. If it goes into Ishii, they're not going to be able to stop it. They're going to have to let it burn until it comes out the other side. I mean, that's bureaucrats right there. So, hey, anyways, I thought I would share that, you know, the liberals will stop at nothing. I mean, the coronation of Kamel into her presidential role is not only unconstitutional, it's unholy because it's going to destroy the country. But these folks on that side are doing everything in their power to get us into an armed conflict before the election. I don't know if you saw this. You said you had seen a headline, but Finland, the most recent NATO member, decided that it would be a good idea to go bomb a Russian airbase in Russian territory.
Did they use Finland bombs?
I don't know, but it's NATO in a direct attack. We have over 100,000 soldiers sitting in Poland, American soldiers sitting in Poland, and Putin hasn't responded yet. And, I mean, NATO is doing everything they can to poke Putin to do something. And so far he has shown great restraint because, I mean, literally Finland came out and the president of Finland has been issuing statements in Europe about he fully expects Russia to return an attack, which, as anybody knows, an attack on one is an attack on all in NATO. And then
he better hurry up. But well, Joe's still in there because Kamala will put the kaput to that real quick.
Well, no, I think she'll dive in a lot deeper, a big, big deeper. And then in Israel, America sending more warships and airplanes because they fully expect Iran to go full Monty on Israel now. So these folks are doing everything in their power to get us into some armed conflict so they can say that they're the wartime presidency. So pay attention, folks. There's stuff happening that is not necessarily in our best interest.
So I've got a little bit of local stuff here we need to talk about. Big League Dreams has vacated the premises. And it's just kaput. We're not operating anymore. They closed it down in the middle of the seasons and walked away. So, you know, there was a special meeting, I think it was Tuesday night, about Big League Dreams and what we were going to do. And the city really doesn't have any answers. All the people, the hockey people, the baseball people, they're just pulling their hair out. This is our park, and why isn't it open? And it's the biggest mess you ever saw in your life. 2 years ago, Big League Dreams sold its contract to TNC Sports. What people don't know is a couple of the big cheeses on TNC Sports are affiliated with Big League Dreams. And it looked to me like it was just a different entity. We're going to switch our contract over to them. I'll bet you they're bankrupt. So any litigation that comes along, well, you know, Big League Dreams probably isn't going to have to pay it. And this is what happens with private-public partnerships. The only ones I've ever seen work out are these three- and four-story buildings in downtown Reading where they're private-public partnerships. The public kicks in a whole bunch of grant money because it's affordable housing, and a private guy owns it and reaps all the benefits.
And you say that works out?
Well, it worked out for the private guy.
It worked out for K2.
This worked out real good for Big League Dreams. You know, they didn't bring anything to the table. Nothing.
Well, that's another one of Emperor Warren's great projects. I believe that happened in his term, and here we are with a disaster. It's kind of like the Sundial Bridge. When you go on the north side of the bridge, they had to get it done so fast. The concrete and the work on the north side is horrendous. The stuff on the south side is actually pretty nice. And so another Emperor Warren's of great things with the Big League Dreams. I'm almost 100% positive that was one of his notches in his belt.
Well, you know, I got the contract. The city of Reading signed with Big League Dreams. And the one thing that stood out, it was probably the first paragraph, Big League Dreams told the city, if this is going to go to a public vote, we're not interested in coming here. Doesn't that kind of send a red flag out?
It would to most people.
Yeah, they didn't bring 10 cents to the project, and all the food you eat out there comes from their supplier from out of town. By the way, Big League Dreams was from Chino Hills. So the taxpayers spent $20 million building this facility. But like Leonard Modi told me, he said, Nick, that's not Reading's money, so I guess it's okay to squander somebody else's money and give it to an out-of-town entity that doesn't bring anything to the table and let them have it 4 years rent-free on a 32-year contract. Who signs a 32-year contract?
Apparently the city of Reading.
Pat Kite was a big pusher.
Yeah.
On this. And halfway through his term, I think it was probably his second or third term.
Well, this is all happening down around the same time. They came with that brilliant idea to do Stillwater Park that they couldn't fill out for years. And I think the last public acknowledgement of cost to the city of Reading was in excess of $32 million. And they hadn't at that point had a tenant. So I don't know where it stands today, but I think we had it carried for up to $32 million of out-of-pocket expense, and that was also around that whole Big League Dreams time. So there were some really great decisions made back then.
Well, Mike Warren said when we got Stillwater Business Park built, we'll be able to pick and choose the businesses we want to bring into our community. If you recall, they couldn't give a lot away for the longest time, and now they finally
sold two. People in there. They are starting to get people in there.
Yeah, they've got 2 lots sold to businesses that already exist here in Reading.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't see where it was a big boom. And then they had the debacle of the sewer line going down Airport Road to it. They got some guy, Jurin was his name, to do it, and it was too cheap, and they had to tear it up and do it again, just like Placer Road. What happened to Placer Road? Last I heard, they used the wrong pipe, so they're going to have to dig it up and do it over again.
Wow.
You know, maybe
you cannot make up incompetence like that if you wrote a book.
Yeah, and it goes through 3 managers.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. But hey, that's a great segue, Nick, because we're going to learn a lot about some incompetence here in a minute, folks. We have a special treat today. There is a special screening at the Cascade Theater on August 17th, and we have the filmmaker who put the thing together. It's a documentary about the Acid Canal, Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District, and Tyler Ferris is with us, and we want to kind of hear, what did he discover? We don't want to give away the story, obviously, because it's for the moon, but what did he discover? What were some of the highlights? And so before we go into break for about 7 minutes, Tyler, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
So August 17th, what are we going to learn about Acid Canal? Because for me as a real estate agent, this has had a profound effect. I just got done doing a deal. After Acid shut all the water off, when they restarted it, it flooded an entire neighborhood south of Reading towards Anderson, and I had to sell a house, and we had to disclose the living bejeebers out of this whole thing because there was a bunch of repairs and everything else. So what? Tell us a little bit about what you were. How did you do this, and where are we at, and then we'll pick up the details maybe after break.
Yeah, absolutely. So in May of 2022, I found out about the ACID and kind of what was going on. And at that time, I had no idea what the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District was. So I had a lot of learning to do myself. And what we saw was the community was kind of confused. They didn't have any water. We didn't know why there was no water. There wasn't a lot of answers being presented. And so what we did is we started to go to all the ACID board meetings. We started interviewing state officials, locals. We interviewed the federal government. We ended up interviewing the Bureau of Reclamation to help us understand how the Anderson Cottonwood community got to this point. That was our big question. But what we realized as we were going through this is water management in California is terribly confusing. And so we couldn't even communicate the story that we were following without giving the the viewers, the end viewers, more information about California water. So that's kind of how it all started. We captured film for about 8 months. We actually ended up shooting more footage after that because of the flooding and different things that are happening then. But it took us about a year to put everything together, and we've been in festivals since August of last year.
Okay.
How long have you been in Redding, Tyler?
I'm born and raised here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What high school did you go to?
I graduated from Shasta.
Oh, look at this. Hold on. I'm looking. There's some evil going on. We've got Enterprise versus Shasta right here.
Well, my grandfather, who was also born here, graduated from Enterprise. He was
what
the first,
year do you know?
He was born in 41.
Oh, okay. So
that's about Nick's year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I graduated from Enterprise High School in 1969, and we were an infamous class. We were the last class at Enterprise High School that got to bring their sheep to school. The guys had to get girlfriends after that. That's why they built Foothill in West Valley.
Nick, that's how we introduce our guest is Nick tells stories about sheep. I mean, that's a great answer.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I'm so, not sure. I think waist-high hip waders were invented in the North State here.
You mentioned you interviewed all of these bureaucracies. I mean, was that just what we expect? You know, I can't answer. You need to go talk to the next one, and you go to that one, and you need to talk to the next one. It just kept getting passed down the thing, or did you actually get answers that you started going, wait a minute, this is kind of weird?
Yeah, we got answers, and from each entity, it helped us build together the puzzle to help us understand everything. It just took us a lot longer to get access to some of these interviews, and we still didn't interview everyone we wanted to interview. There was quite a few people that we tried to get interviews with that declined multiple times, or we just couldn't get access to them. We tried contacting certain political officials, local officials, all kinds of different entities that, you know, we ended up getting 20 interviews, but there's still more to the story that we weren't able to, sadly, you know, communicate from different perspectives.
Did you find out why we didn't get any water?
Yes. I mean, the answer really was that the Endangered Species Act, which protects the winter run Chinook salmon, was a huge factor into why the allocation was reduced. But the number one reason was the emergency drought proclamation, which was presented by the federal government to restrict the water. And they made an agreement, the federal government, with the Sacramento River Settlement contractors to reduce that water allocation. So that's how it kind of all came together. So a series of unfortunate things, but ultimately it was the Endangered Species Act alongside of the Emergency Drought Proclamation. So the drought.
So the feds cut off the water supply.
Yes, they reduced the water allocation.
To zero. Oh, to what was it? 7%? 17%?
18%.
So that was going to get down to about Crown Motors before it soaked into the water table.
That was some of the statements correct.
Oh.
Was that a correct statement?
I haven't seen any proof that it is a correct statement.
Okay. So I guess we're going to go to a break pretty quick. Doug's got a special clip he wants you to play. Go ahead, explain it.
Well, guys, as you know, on TV, we get inundated with pharmaceutical commercials, and then has all these side effects. And I came across this one, and I just feel that for us as a local community, we need to hear this one, because this is one that I personally might actually sign up for. So if we could go to break with this one, that would be awesome.
And after break, I've got a really good clip from Robert Kennedy Jr. I want you to be here and especially to listen to that also. So clip, quick break time. Here we go. On delay. On delay. Well, there's no good.
A brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those living with moderate to severe stupidity have seen immediate improvement in common sense with a brain.
I thought the government had my best interests at heart, and then a friend told me about a brain.
Talk to your doctor about what news sources you obey. A brain may also lower your desire to take life-altering advice from celebrities.
Getting lectured about my carbon footprint from people with 3 private jets used to make sense. But thanks to a brain, now I can think for myself every day. When my disregard for third grade biology began to flare up, I knew it was time for a brain.
Do not try a brain if you're allergic to a brain. Common side effects may include accountability, discernment, homeschooling your kids, a better understanding of economics, awareness of the stupidity of socialism, and diarrhea.
For tethering yourself to reality, the only no-brainer is choosing a brain. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you.
For more information, visit tryabrain.com. KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Shasta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Steve Clark, owner of Minuteman Press. You know us for doing things like business cards, booklets, and direct mail. But we do something else you may not know about. If you are missing a person or a pet, we want to help reunite you with your loved one by offering free color flyers. Just call Minuteman Press at 221-0400. We are so grateful for the support of this community, and we are happy to be able to give back. So again, if you are missing a person or a pet, please call Minuteman Press for some free flyers. 221-0400. That's 221-0400, Minuteman Press.
PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging would like to invite you to join our free caregiver support events during the month of August. During these presentations, you will learn techniques on how to help when they don't want your help and how to plan ahead in caregiving by getting your documents in order. These free events will be held in Wairika, Weaverville, Susanville, Redding, Alturas, and Burney, and all attendees will receive free resource materials. Visit psa2.org for dates and times. That's psa2.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
So, RFK, you ran the right way. You did what you were supposed to do. You're a Democrat. You primaried a Democrat incumbent, and they wouldn't let you. How did they jam you out of this thing? Because now look at what happened.
I think it was a strategic mistake by the Democrats, Jesse, and you and I have talked about this before. But they got rid of, they changed the primary rules while we were running the primary. They changed 60 different rules to make it impossible for anybody to challenge Joe Biden.
Maybe they knew RFK's challenge would expose too much truth. Could there be a deeper plot to silence voices who threaten their control?
One of the things that you remember that they did to me is I've been campaigning in New Hampshire, so they adopted a rule that said that any political candidate, any Democratic candidate who campaigns in New Hampshire, who steps foot into the state of New Hampshire, and all of their votes would go to the president, all of their delegates would go to the president, instead of going to that. And then they shut down the Florida primary, they shut down a bunch of primaries, and just said, we're not running them, we already have our candidate.
Could this be a deliberate scheme to ensure only the chosen ones get through, silencing any real competition?
A few weeks ago, President Biden was ridiculing Vladimir Putin, who won 88% of the vote in Russia, and he said, you know, that was a fixed election because President Putin had gotten rid, made sure no adversaries could challenge him, and also that he had fixed the press so the press wouldn't cover his adversaries. Well, the Democratic Party succeeded in doing the same thing. I haven't been allowed on any of the Democratic
networks. So there you go. Joe Biden and the Democrats are copying what Vladimir Putin runs his, how he runs his campaigns or his elections. Same with Venezuela.
Oh, man. Maduro, it's funny you mention that. Folks, I'm going to ask you to break out your phone right now. Go to your calculator, because I was taught back when we learned math that you can only have 100% of something, whatever 100% is. Speaking of Venezuela, Maduro got 109% of the vote. 109. He got more votes than people that were actually registered to vote.
Well, Mary Rickard has 117% of her constituents backing her up there in District 3, I think it is.
Why is it that we start talking about Acid Canal and all of a sudden we've got corruption all over the place here?
Tyler, hit it.
Welcome back, sir. Folks, we've got Tyler with us, Tyler Ayers, and he's done a documentary about the debacle that turned out to be Acid Canal in 2022, which caused a lot of issues and problems and heartaches. And continue on, sir. What are some of the things that we would like to hear from you for the event on August 17th at the Cascade?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're just very, very excited to finally show this locally. The film has been out since the first premiere was in, or first festival was in August. And so we've been traveling around doing festivals all over the world.
But I've been
able to visit many, in Dallas and Phoenix, going to Richmond at the, Richmond, Virginia at the end of the year. And we're just really, really excited because it's been received on, very positively in a lot of different areas. And it's interesting to hear, you know, we're telling this small micro story about water management in our area, but it's interesting going to these different places because they're like, oh, hear about our water woes, hear about all these different water issues in our community. So although it is a small story in our community, it resonates with a lot of different people, a lot of different communities that have different water issues. So we're just really, really excited to finally get it out locally, people to see it here. And then after that, we'll be getting to distribution, hopefully getting online to different streaming networks in the winter is our plan.
Well, it makes me think, because if you keep hearing from these different little individual places, they have kind of the same problem. Would that indicate that maybe this is a bigger federal issue that's coming, like overarching? Is that kind of like consistently, or is it like they all face something from a different bureaucracy?
It's all from different things from what I've been hearing. Phoenix was a really interesting example because they talked about a lot of outside countries coming in, buying land in the Arizona, Phoenix area, and then doing large plots of alfalfa and other grows. So that pulling all that water out of the aquifer that takes away from the community. And in Phoenix, I mean, it's a large, sprawling, big, growing
in the middle of the desert.
In the middle of the desert. Yeah. So their water is, you know, yeah.
Well, that's not, you know, it's funny as anybody who pays attention to this, which I'm sure most don't just because they've got life to live. But the Central Valley is also, what is it called, subjugation or sub – When the water's been pumped out so much, the ground has actually sunk in the Central Valley. So you go south to Sacramento down to Bakersfield, they're having some significant issues from water being pumped out of the ground there as well. So it's not, you know, unique to Arizona.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed about that, the ground sinking, the acid canal drying up, all these other municipalities that are having problems, there's one central character, and that's the government running the water. It looks to me like here with the Acid Canal, the government oversold the water. The same thing happened up on the Klamath. They oversold the water.
Yeah, I mean, that can be an assumption that can be put together. We didn't find anything, any factors of that. Obviously, the federal government made the decision. So it's definitely part of their control, but there are a lot of factors that they have to weigh in with state entities. The drought was ultimately the biggest cause of this.
Well, and I'm trying to be very careful for you and for the listeners. I don't want to give away any subplot line, and I don't know the ending. But one of the questions I've had for many years, and I don't know if you were able to get information that you can share, but I know talking to some local well drillers back in the day that they bid out these wells and they're producing massive amounts of water. If you guys go down Interstate 5 and take the outlets off ramp and look to the right, that's one of, I think, three that are pumping hundreds or maybe even thousands of gallons a minute and just dumping it into the canal to go down to Southern California. When we had no water, we were still obligated to pumping this water out of our ground and giving it to Southern California. Again, without giving away supply, did you find anything out that we will find interesting?
In that respect, there was a lot of questions that we had. We have an hour and a half to tell our story, but there was a lot of things, especially with the Endangered Species Act, again, because there's the Delta smelt, which is down in the Delta. It's a small batch of fish that only reside there. And there's certain things with the Delta where you have to flush enough fresh water out to keep the salt water from receding back in. So that was another factor. We were curious of where's the water going, what's happening, and that was another factor. But our documentary focused mainly on educating individuals, the viewers, about water management in California, while using the ACID and their situation as a micro story of how to pay attention to what's going on with your water, where is it coming from, because this could happen at any time.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm a real estate agent, and I can assure you during that window of time, you know, you'd go look at houses or properties that used to claim acid irrigation, and you look at the canal, and it's dry, it's cracked, and there's nothing there. And so we as agents kept coming back, do we still advertise acid irrigation? Because at that moment, there was no surety that it was ever going to come back online.
And now you're looking at all these dead trees and this dead environment that sadly these homeowners, landowners have to deal with, the
well,
dead trees.
Well, down off 273, wells went dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because during the summer, the water would percolate down through the canal, and these people, they had to drill $35,000, $40,000 wells deeper because they now had no water. So, I mean, this really had far-ranging effects for the North State.
It did. And a lot of individuals that lost their home wells because there was so much seepage from the ACID that they were pulling groundwater. I mean, these were 40-foot wells that they had to get re-drilled down to 120, 160.
Wow.
And
folks, this is in our backyard, and this is just an example of something Nick and I constantly beat on, is just about the inefficiencies and most likely the corruption that is our government. So what else can you, or would you like to tell us and share with us about this upcoming event? What would you like to talk to us about real quick and let us go there?
Absolutely. Well, I really hope that, you know, we're at the Cascade Theater. It's been a big, jump for us to rent out the full facility, take this on ourselves. This has been a long project. I'm in 2 years now, a lot of personal investment, and we just really hope that the community comes out and supports local filmmaking in our community. This is we have a small group of filmmakers in our area, but we're really trying to grow the industry here, grow more opportunities. And so August 17th at the Cascade Theater, 7 p.m., we kept tickets as cheap as we possibly could. Once you get through the ticket fees and all that, it's about $20. And we really, really, really hope you all show up. It's going to be a very fun project and something I think that Reading can be proud of.
And the tickets have to be bought beforehand. You can't show up and just buy a $20 ticket, right?
You can buy them at the door.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's cool. Well, it's funny you mentioned the film community. Is about 2 months ago, my wife at the Horse Sanctuary got a phone call. And it was some guy saying he was from something, something, film, something, something. And so my wife's like, yeah, whatever. He brought up 15 scouts.
Mm-hmm.
15 scouts to go check out. And they were, and according to them, they were checking North State locations for upcoming projects. And he said the North State is on the map. And so thank you for also giving us some exposure. I hope, doesn't sound like it's going to necessarily be super positive in some cases, but at least people are finding out that we have a pretty cool spot up here.
Yeah, very diverse landscapes, and it can bring a lot of money to our community.
And they're moving in.
Yeah.
We're turning liberal. That's my opinion.
Well, with growth comes pain.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
Well, Tyler, you were meant to go from 8:30 to 9, but we got you a little early. Is there anything else you want to say before we let you go and let our people look forward to this event?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for helping me promote this, and we really hope the community shows up August 17th at the Cascade Theater.
Outstanding. Tyler, thank you so much for coming in. And Nick, back to our regularly scheduled program of beating on you. What am I supposed to beat on you about?
Oh, nothing. I haven't done anything wrong for a week. I behaved myself for a week.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's an interesting little thing that I came across the other day. And this is just kind of off script going. And Nick and I, we cover every topic that comes into our mind. And for the housing market, folks, as a real estate agent, I'm just going to tell you, things are going to get interesting very soon. I'm not saying up or down. I'm just saying interesting because what people don't know is after the last meltdown, huge hedge funds, BlackRock, Vanguard, the same BlackRock that shorted President Trump, for the record, they went out and they were buying $100 million of defaulted mortgage. So the Bank of America would sit there and have millions upon millions upon millions of bad loans, and instead of trying to sell the houses in the open market, they would just go to one of these hedge funds and say, look, will you buy $50 million worth of bad loans? And they would do it, which could include hundreds, if not thousands, of homes all around the United States. Well, at last check on the information that I can find that I think is very valuable, over 40% of all single-family home stock in the United States is owned by hedge funds. Not by private citizens, not by you and me homeowners proud of our neighborhood. It's the rentals from the hedge fund. And I've watched now a couple things from folks I consider to have some decent knowledge. I mean, I put a little bit of faith in what they say. And now that the market is doing what we call softening or changing or adjusting or whatever you want, the hedge funds are getting a little freaked out that they're huge investments, because they were the same ones that would overbid houses by $40,000, $50,000 to beat out the home buyers. And so just saying, start watching as our inventory goes up. I don't think Shasta County is necessarily in that 40% range, but I know in the Midwest and along the coast that the hedge funds bought vast amounts of properties, and rumor has it that they're going to start throwing those on the market, and that will have its own effect as down the road. So there's a little housing market update for you. Nick, you've got your Kindle out. What
well,
do you got?
It won't surprise me if it comes up here, because we've got the liberals moving in, and they're driving up the prices.
Well, yeah. But
and we are actually a cheap market, comparatively speaking, to the Bay Area or the Los Angeles area, or probably Reno. To
comparatively
come over
speaking,
here, we live in a beautiful area.
Compared to California, we have the lowest price for the whole of California here in the North State. So
yes.
we've attracted a lot of people from out of the area who brought their politics with them, thankfully.
Yes. Well, I did have one thing I wanted to announce. The 18th, I guess you're going to be gone.
I'm going to be in Thailand visiting our old cohort, Leo. He's in Thailand.
Well, I believe Brenda Haynes is going to come in and give us her take on the documentary. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's interesting. Well, you know, this is the same Brenda Haynes that lied through her teeth during the shopping center debacle. So the reality is I don't put a lot of faith in it. But if she wants to have her 3 minutes of fame, then is it on our show?
Yeah.
Oh.
How did she lie about the shopping center?
Well, when I was involved in that, because I was on the No One Measure B, so if you're in Churn Creek Bottom, I've invested bazillion hours protecting Churn Creek Bottom, because they were going to lock it down for 26.5 years, that if you wanted to do something that was not necessarily approved by code back then, like an ADU or a bigger than shop, you had to hold a countywide election and there was going to be no development. And I fought hard for that. On the flip side was a shopping center that had been approved by the Planning Commission and the County Board of Supervisors, 5050, and then the Churn Creek Bottom folks decided that that was not going to happen in their backyard, so they NIMBY'd it, which is fine. That's America. You can do that. But the stuff they said about it, I can tell you that at the time there was NDAs, and I'm not even sure I'm allowed to do it now, but I can assure you that at the time, Brenda and her group were saying that we were going to empty the mall, we were going to take all the business out of Reading, it was going to drive crime up. Having seen everything there and being involved in all the private meetings, I can assure you that there was five new massive retailers, one that rhymes with elbow, and does hunting stuff. They were one of the ones that said, if you build it, we will come. Another one had a rack on it, and that was one of the ones. And so the reality is we had the opportunity to bring a large shopping center that had outside nothing from Reading, and they lied consistently about it.
Who was the developer?
It was going to be the Hawkins Group from Idaho.
How much did they invest in that?
Well, I think at full build-out, because they were going to do...
No, how much did they invest before they walked away?
Oh, millions. They bought that big piece of property.
And you're telling me that they invested millions and they wouldn't disclose who they had coming in to build it?
Well, the way that it worked was they had these massive... Because everywhere they had ever gone, they were heroes. They never had anybody go against them. So when they said, we're bringing in the Shoe Shopping Center...
Well, they came to Shasta County. Yeah. Where we stand up for ourselves.
Oh, well, that's true. But they went to their retailers from other shopping centers, and they said, hey, we got this fight in Shasta County, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the rule that we were repeatedly told is we're talking to this company, we're talking to this, but you can't disclose it. It's NDA, NDA, NDA. Well, when it was all said and done, we did an autopsy on the loss for the shopping center, but we won on Measure B, and everybody said that they should have come out and said – who they had on the hook, because Brenda and her group kept saying we were going to empty the mall, we were going to take all the restaurants out of Reading, blah, 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 blah. And so I personally don't have a lot of faith in what she will say, but if it's valid, I'd love to listen to what she has to say, because...
Well, maybe we'll get to that.
Yeah.
You're going to listen to our show?
Well, I'll try. Leo listens, so if he's out there...
I'll try and get to that.
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought that they would... take a lot of business from Reading, businesses.
Nuh-uh.
Like Jamba Juice,
no.
Those kind of things. Oh, yeah, they would have.
I can assure you.
Look what Costco's doing in Save More.
Yep.
Look at all the businesses that are going down there. Those businesses would have gone right to that mall.
Man.
They're right in Reading.
Hell,
you've got, excuse me.
Don't
laugh at me. I go to counseling for that. So, you know, I think there's some merit to what she was saying.
I can assure you.
I'll bring that up and we'll talk about it.
I can assure you.
But I can't believe somebody that invested millions wouldn't say, hey, we've got Cabela's coming, we've got Borac coming. You know, if they want to sell their shopping center, they'd say, we've got these coming to Reading. Didn't that go to a public vote?
Yeah, that's what happened. They went to the vote.
They didn't sell themselves too well.
Well, no,
I was on the other side with Brenda.
I tell you. And I was on the other side fighting. And unfortunately, because I was the No on Measure B spokesman, I wasn't allowed to actually speak about the shopping center. I was actually prohibited. But
you're their spokesman.
No, I was.
You can't spoke about it.
Well, no. I was the No on Measure B. I saved Churn Creek Bottom. And I'll take credit for that, because I was at Bieber, New Bieber, Bernie. I did town halls. I was on TV. I was on the radio. Let me tell you.
Why were you at Bernie for a mall that's going to go in down there at the truck stop on I-5.
It was a countywide vote.
Okay.
They had to go and hold it. And I can assure you, I was on the inside and you and Brenda were not. There was not one Reading business that I was made aware of during any of the meetings that they were in discussions on moving. Now,
Why would they discuss moving there when it isn't even okay, let alone built?
Well, it was okay. It was actually okay twice, 5050, and then that's when the Churn Creek Bottom said, we're going to fight it. And that, again, that's America. They're allowed to do that.
You know where I think Churn Creek Bottom screwed up?
Please.
The Auto Mall.
Jim Maxwell.
They should have, in my opinion, they should have let that Auto Mall go in. They had addressed the noise problem. They had addressed the light pollution, and they had addressed the drives on Churn Creek Bottom to try out the vehicles.
Yep.
They weren't going to be over on that side, and I thought, boy, this is a win-win for them down there.
Well, and
that would have been a lower, much lower impact than a shopping mall.
Well,
in my opinion.
I mean, it would have looked like Vacaville, where you get all those shopping or those auto malls right alongside the freeway. I'm not sure either one was great, to be honest with you, but the fact is retail and cars, they usually go right next to the freeway. And I just remember that when we were doing our thing and I had to go speak on No on Measure B, which we won 72-28, thank you very much, we weren't allowed to talk about the businesses that they had papered that said, if you build it, we will come. And because they all had NDAs, they didn't want it to be get out there that they were thinking of moving to this area, whatever. And I learned a lot.
I can't see any reason for that. There's, you know, if there's one in the Bay Area, people aren't going to come up here to shop for it.
No, but they did. They had studies done, and the amount of money, the millions upon millions of dollars that leave Reading to go to Roseville, to the malls, and buy outside of Reno. They had done this. I mean, it was actually quite interesting to see the traffic counts. They were going to do a 6-lane-wide bridge over the freeway at private cost, no government intervention. They were going to do 3-lane exits on both sides, north and south, all private money. They didn't ask for and actually Patrick Jones and I were on the opposite end of this, because Patrick was actually fighting for the Oasis Costco Center. And I was here fighting for this one down here, because Costco was fully reliant on the city of Reading to provide all the infrastructure at the, I think it's the Levinston property. And these guys down here were all self-funded. But it gets back to Ms. Haynes and I have had difference of opinion. So it'll be interesting to have that discussion and see what she says about the movie. So, Tyler, there you go. You've got an argument between Nick and I, and our crowd loves it.
And I love it, too. It's fun to argue with people.
Well, you know, we used to do that in America. We used to have, you know, civil discourse, grab a beer, and do it. And you and I will probably go grab a coffee after this, and I'll punch you in the nose. But I love you to death, man.
Okay, well, you might get lucky and punch me because I'm old and I can't run anymore.
Well,
I'm just getting down to fighting weight. That's too fat to run.
What you do, though, is you let me punch you. Oh, you know, another thing. Let's talk about the Paris Olympics. Crying out loud. I can't let this go. I just... Why we are even involved, and I'm sorry, I love the athletes, the athletes who have done their life to get there, as a former athlete, but we have an opening ceremony that featured a complete mockery of the Christianity faith by drag queens, but that's bad enough. I think where I've lost the final, and there was never any respect, but the final, like, liberals, come on, wake up, is, you know, you and I mentioned something about high heels and a skirt, and we're sexist. We're sexist. We you know, we've been derogatory towards the female species.
Actually, I've always thought you'd look kind of good in high heels.
Well, there you go. I mean, thank you for pointing that out. But here we have this boxer from Italy, a guy.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And he is just beating women on public display. And the Olympics, the people are going along with it. Nobody's standing up to it, which is just, folks, that's where we're at in Liberalville. That's what we have gotten to in the United States and the world, is we're letting a man beat the living tar out of a woman, and we're doing nothing about it. And I just wanted to throw that in there, because that's really one of the things in the last week that you asked me. I can't watch the Olympics. I'm disgusted by them. I see all of our NBA athletes who are multi-zillionaires. They're having a great time watching it. And that's not what the Olympics was about. The Olympics was always supposed to be about an amateur best athlete in the world kind of thing. And, of course, the Russians blew it by paying their entire team. But watching a guy pummel a woman, that's a bridge too far for me.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to bring your attention to the best book I have read on the corruption of Joe Biden. It's called Breaking Biden, and it's by Alex Marlowe. He is one of the head cheeses of Breitbart News. And I mean, this guy documents so much. You've heard of Peter Schweitzer and his books. This one's even better. And if you get the chance, get this book and read it. I've got it on my Kindle here. And I'm going to just read you a little spot here. And it worries me about this station here. A left-wing group linked to George Soros, the Democrats' top financier, is attempting to bankroll the takeover of conservative airwaves, which is run by the Latino Media Network, which is run by the Obama administration, alumni Stephanie Valencia, and includes far-left actress Ava Longoria as a board member, is gobbling up radio real estate that currently features strong conservative and anti-communist voices. And I'm wondering, you know, I heard through the grapevine that there's a couple of people looking to buy this station. And I just wonder, you know, if, because this would just be a drop in the bucket to buy this and get us off the air. And I believe a news cafe, Shasta Scout, Record Search Site would love to shut us up. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to shut you up, and you won't stop. So, but I do agree with you, sir.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
That's elder abuse. No, Nick, it's funny, as you mentioned one name in that is the root of almost all evil, and it's funny as I get to segue back to something, George Soros and our old redshirt voters went on behalf of him to do a presentation at the Spy Museum last year, and that's the gentleman that the liberals hang their hat on, and I totally agree that if they – see, the thing is, liberals can't win on any argument, anytime, anywhere, at any point.
So they've got to own the conversation.
They've got to own the conversation, and they've got to make you quiet, and they've got to buy you and beat you down, or – you know, yell at you or scream at you or whatever. And so I have obviously not heard anything about a station locally, but you're right. Local stations would be a rounding error on a checkbook for those guys.
Let me read this last piece to you. Remember a couple years ago when two undercover reporters exposed Planned Parenthood selling a aborted baby parts. That's a felony. The California Attorney General prosecuted the journalist and never did anything to Planned Parenthood. Guess who the Attorney General was at that time?
Kamala Harris.
Isn't that something? I think that was James O'Keefe that broke that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, Project Veritas.
And prosecuted him.
Yep. Well, I mean, and that's the funny thing is, you know, they've got that. That was, speaking of the Attorney General of California, you know, issued this whole thing that there was nothing to see. And people got all up in arms because Jonesy didn't give it any heat on his letter that he received. So, you know, Nick, it's every day you wake up, you read something, and you said, this day just got loonier than the last one. And there just seems to be no end in the lunacy, and it's all coming from one side. And if we don't stand up, it's a death by a thousand cuts.
When I wake up and I read something, I say, can I believe this?
I gave up having any believability when Obama got in there. But it's time. I hear music. Nick?
It's been a good show.
I'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.